Will mortgage rates ever go back to that 3% level? Well, this is one of the biggest questions in the housing market conversation right now. It's one of the main points that's been keeping buyers on the sidelines, because if you experienced the market even just a few years ago, today's conditions feel totally different. So today we're going to break this down, look at the data points, and most importantly, what to focus on moving forward, because you could sort of sit there for 10 years hoping that interest rates are going to shift. Well, we're going to tell you what to look for today. So back in 2019, just 1 year before the pandemic, mortgage interest rates were at a historical low, 3.94%. Then 2 years later, rates fell even further to a new all-time low, 2.65% in general. Rates have hovered around that 3% range for a couple of years. It feels like a world away right now. And when you compare today's mortgage rates, which are sitting right at about 6% right now, it feels like a big jump. And this explains why there's so much hesitancy among buyers and sellers alike in today's housing market. It makes sense, right? Like, why? Why would you want to move? Like, if you're in a house right now where you've got a really low mortgage rate, yeah, maybe you don't have all the bedrooms now that you have that newborn baby. And so you're just going to sit and wait, right? You're stuck with that really low mortgage rate. Rates in the threes, that feels like they're normal to some people, especially if you bought a home or investment property in that time frame, like 3%, it was always 3%, right? But historically, 3% rates are just an outlier. The thing is, those rates that we saw during the pandemic era were artificially low, of course, by the Fed, right? In 2021, the Federal Reserve cut interest rates in response to the pandemic, making it cheaper for Americans to suddenly borrow money. And actually, if you zoom out and look at the big picture, mortgage rates are still fairly low. Freddie Mac data tracks it all the way back to 1971, and the long-term average is 7.7% for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The highest annual average rate ever recorded was 16% back in 1981. That was when my dad became a realtor. Like, he was telling me horror stories about this. That's when he got his real estate license, and boom, 16% interest. So if you take all of that, those data points into the context, it's not like mortgage rates are outrageous right now. Sure, they might feel high if you're comparing them to the pandemic era, but they're not actually that high, historically speaking, in the United States. So while it feels like interest rates doubled overnight, technically they didn't. Those ultra low rates were just a response to a very specific once-in-a-generational event. So unless we see another major global crisis that forces a similar economic reaction, rates will probably never be that low again. We'll dig into that more in a minute. But first, I have a question for you. Could your financial advisor provide a plan to fully replace your income in the next 10 years without charging you for it? I'm going to say probably not. Now, if you trust the system and you want someone else to do all your thinking and planning, a financial advisor can absolutely help you with that. But if you want to actually build real independent wealth that's immune to the influence of Washington, Wall Street, and the latest headlines, you've got to take matters into your own hands. That's what Natalie and I did years ago, and we were able to break free from paycheck dependency in fewer than 5 years. That's right, we used buy and hold real estate to do it. And you can start earning monthly passive income through real estate investing as well. Now, if you're like us, you probably don't have a lot of time to do all the legwork involved with getting a good investment property. And that's where our partner, Sidera Wealth, can help. They've got over 20 years experience helping investors of all levels reach financial freedom through real estate investing. And their help is 100% free. They make their money buying and building properties in bulk so they can actually pass on the savings. And whether you want to maximize your retirement funds, increase your tax savings, or replace your current income entirely, they can help. They can also connect you to countless helpful resources. Sidera Wealth's proven strategy focuses on increasing your net worth year after year. Most people need just 5 or 6 properties to replace their annual income, and many do it in just 10 years or less. So if this resonates with you, don't just think about it. Take action now by going to redacted.inc/wealth. It's redacted.inc, not .com, redacted.inc/wealth, and book a free call with the Sidera Wealth team. And when you're done, you can come back and finish this video knowing that you've taken a significant step in bettering your financial future. So now, assuming that you've done all that, let's get back to it. Of course, none of us can predict the future. Anything can happen. You know, we lived in Europe for 5 years, and during that time, we owned a house, and we had an interest rate of like 1.1%, which was absurd. Like, anything can happen, right? So the difference is, of course, home prices have risen exponentially in recent years, making the interest rate much more important to buyers. Even a small uptick in rates can add several hundred dollars to a mortgage payment, which of course amounts to a lot over the course of a 30-year mortgage. And again, historically speaking, home prices don't tend to drop much, barring some sort of major market crash. That's the very essence of real estate. It appreciates. So the combination of higher prices and elevated interest rates has caused the infamous lock-in effect that's essentially clogging up the entire housing market today. Over half of U.S. mortgage owners are said to have mortgage interest rates under 4%. This is why we see young families staying in their starter homes much longer. Again, they just had that second child, and now they've got bunk beds in the one bedroom because, well, they just don't want to give up that mortgage rate. They're staying there longer than they planned. Older generations who were waiting to downsize, moving to Florida, selling their home, they're just not doing it. They're just staying put. So there are millions of households who feel stuck in their housing situation right now. I mean, there's a serious generational mismatch that's happening. And it's been estimated that empty nesters actually own 28% of the largest homes in the country. I can tell you just in Colorado where we live now, like there's an entire neighborhood which has really aged out. It's a pretty famous neighborhood. And so a lot of the kids went off to high school and college and now they don't live there anymore. Well, this neighborhood, they actually had to close one of the elementary schools because the older people are just staying put. So it's like where the younger families that would want to be in this neighborhood are like, hey, are you going to move, grandma, grandpa? Sorry, but are you going to go? And they're not. They're not leaving. So much so that they had to close a freaking elementary school. They own the largest homes in the country right now, and they're kind of empty nesters. Millennial families only own about 16%. This is because millennials are faced with not only affordability and inventory challenges, but also baby boomers have no financial incentives to move. The math just doesn't add up. Redfin had 2026 housing predictions that they just came out with said that even if housing affordability were to improve this year, it still won't be enough to reverse the effects of household makeup across the country. And that report said that roughly 6% of Americans who struggled to afford housing as of mid-2025 moved in with their parents. Another 6% moved in with roommates. And we expect those shares to now increase next year. So more people moving in with their parents and more people getting roommates. We also expect high home buying costs to make families smaller. This is really the tragedy because the United States has a massive birth gap problem right now. If you want to see like what it could look like, look at Japan. The young families just not having kids. The older generation dying off. That is a country in chaos right now. And the United States is there. The fertility rate has been gradually declining for years. It's expected to continue falling. So families just saying, I can't afford to have children. That's how bad it's gotten. Home affordability is so far gone that it shifted the basic idea of a nuclear family owning a home and living in it. More and more Americans have to choose right now. They have no choice but to turn to roommates, multi-generational living, or limiting their family size. Now, sorry, we're not going to have those two kids. We're just going to have the one. That's really dramatic. And it's very unlikely that we're going to see mortgage interest rates plummet in the future. And honestly, it's quite unlikely that rates will ever hit 3% again. In my opinion, 3% interest rates are a thing of the past. And while some analysts are predicting a small dip in the near future, most experts are predicting that 30-year mortgage rates will remain near 6% throughout the year. For example, the National Association of Home Builders are predicting an average rate of 6.2% throughout 2026 and 6.3% in 2027. The National Association of Realtors says that due to the high levels of national debt, mortgage rates cannot go down to an even 5%. That's another important point. Factors like inflation, national debt, playing a huge role in keeping rates pretty steady right now. And add in this like another layer of all of this, which is inflation. I mean, when inflation is elevated, rates tend to stay higher. That's how the system is designed. And just like we saw in 2020, lowering rates too aggressively can actually make inflation worse. Plus, higher debt levels can push pressure on long-term interest rates. That's why another reason most experts don't expect rates to drop dramatically at all, unless, I don't know, something crazy happens with the Trump administration and the new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh. I don't know. He wants rates slashed, but we'll see. So when you hear people say that they're waiting for rates to drop before they buy a home, whether it be a primary residence or rental property, The reality is they might be waiting for something that will never happen. Again, I always want to think back to what's in your control, right? Market conditions, interest rates are outside of your control. Whether you're buying a primary residence or a rental property, you should focus more on what makes sense for you, what's inside your budget, what fits your goals, and so on. Trying to time the market is rarely a good idea. There are many factors that go into whether or not buying is a good decision, and interest rates are just one piece of the puzzle. Whether you're hoping to buy, sell, invest, it's important to keep your finger on the pulse of this. Stay informed on what's happening in the market, because the better you understand the housing market, the more informed choices you can make. And also, if you're thinking about moving, you know, shop these mortgage rates around. Like, we just bought a new investment property, as I mentioned in one of the last videos, and we shopped that mortgage rate around for like a month. It ended up getting a good deal and a buy down offer and some, you know, so there were some incentives there. So again, shop around. And as always, this is the topic we're keeping our eyes on. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this in the comment section below. Do you have any experience buying or selling a home this year? What's the market like where you live? Like, tell me the town where you currently live and what are you seeing in terms of interest rates there and kind of movement, because man, things have ground to a halt. That is for sure. So thank you for subscribing to the channel. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you in the next video.